Good morning. Thank you for joining me again. It is a dark and very rainy day here in Toronto, but there is a sense of spring in the air, which is a wonderful thing. Last week, there was no sermon to record because we had an intergenerational service at our church, but I am back again this week with a sermon that was presented for Lent 1. And this is called Where the Wild Things Are. It is based on the gospel reading Mark 1, verses 9 to 15. When I was a girl, I always wanted to visit Trafalgar Square in London, England, to see all of the pigeons. I'd grown up watching Mary Poppins, and I loved the song about feeding the birds, tuppence a bag. I loved the idea of so many creatures living among the people in the density of the city. I loved the romantic notion that the birds were always there for lonely people who needed some companionship. So you can imagine my sadness when finally making it to London in 2006, I learned that the pigeons were now somewhat more scarce than the movies and film footage I'd seen growing up. It seems that in the year 2000, Mayor Livingston, hating the havoc of the hundreds of birds on the statues in the square and the health hazard he insisted they posed, waged war against the pigeon. He forbid the feeding of the pigeons, employed a hawk handler to hunt them, and turned hoses on the then starving birds. It was truly awful, and it gave rise to animal rights groups trying to protect the pigeons. To this day, subversive groups still feed the birds in different locations of the square each day, still tend to the ailing and injured ones, and still believe that there is a place for the pigeon in Trafalgar Square. But it raised some interesting questions. How does one contain an overabundance of birds? How does one contain a flood of energy? How does one ensure that life isn't overrun by nature? It is still a hotly contested issue in London. The Spirit of God, it seems, can be quite divisive. Whenever I think of the Trafalgar Square pigeons, their plight, their fight, the supporters and their foes, whenever I think of the way they utterly disrupted the square, but also brought joy to those who could see and appreciate the birds for the interesting characters they are, I begin to understand why scripture writers have used the dove as an image for the Spirit of God. A dove is, after all, just a pigeon by another name. And when left to fly free through a square or a church or a life, a pigeon or the Spirit of God can wreak havoc, can frustrate and send you running. It can fill you with joy. It can make you take notice of little things. It can calm you with its cooing. But truth be told, more often than not, it disrupts. Look at our gospel reading today. Although this little six-verse passage is about Jesus, the main player is, without a doubt, the Holy Spirit. No sooner has Jesus come up out of the waters of baptism, we are told, then the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. In just a few short breaths, we have gone from the image of a gentle dove telling Jesus he is beloved to the frantic beating of wings driving him into the wilderness to be tempted and to hang out with the wild beasts and angels. Mark doesn't bother to elaborate what happened during those 40 days in the wilderness, the 40 days that our Lenten journey is based upon. But he does tell us, or hints, at the fact that Jesus was changed by the experience. By the end of the reading, Jesus finally speaks, and after the arrest of his cousin John, begins a ministry of his own, proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come, and that all should repent and believe in the good news. To this point, though, the good news is pretty vague. What good news? If we were reading this for the very first time, we know nothing about Easter morning. We know nothing about the hope and the promise of new life that Christ brings. We know only about relationship, the relationship with the Holy Spirit, and the good news that God's Spirit wants to be in relationship with us. But what does that look like? Every Lent, it is like we are beginning a new and fresh journey, trying to understand the route we are to take, trying to discern the changing landscape around us. Where will this journey take us this year? How will we experience the events along the road to Jerusalem? What message does God have for us this time? What will it feel like to enter into intentional repentance? What are we being called to wrestle with in the wilderness this year? This morning, we are reminded that when we take on a committed spiritual life, it will change us, just as it changed Jesus. In that moment that Jesus chose baptism, in that moment that he publicly declared that he was ready to begin a new journey with God, he was driven to change. The Holy Spirit, after reassurances of love, then beat wings of change, driving him off and forcing him to really discover what it means to be beloved, what it means to live as beloved. And I love that image. And it is a vital reminder for those of us who were raised as Christians and have spent our lives identifying as such, attending church week in and week out, that this spiritual life, this Christian life, is about more than just coming and sitting in a pew week after week. It is about active and personal engagement. It is about listening to the voice of God meant for us specifically, and what it means for us to answer. It isn't just about covering ourselves with a mantle of comfort or some esoteric protection for the afterlife. It is about comfort and connection, but even more than that, it is about being changed by relationship with the Holy Spirit. This is some serious business, being a person of faith. And today, at the start of our Lenten journey, we are invited to live like we believe that, like we know that this matters. The temptation, of course, comes in living like it doesn't, because that is so much easier. It is so much easier to just get reassurance without living seeking out hope. It is so much easier to ask for forgiveness without doing the intentional work of repentance. It is so much easier to just keep doing what we are doing without examining how we might do things differently, to live out our faith more authentically. Those are the wild beasts in our faith life. All those things that are so prevalent in our society today. Taking the easiest path, expecting something for nothing. Being loved by God, but not responding to that love. Thinking that we somehow deserve God's forgiveness, God's love. The truth is, we deserve very little, and we are entitled to nothing. But the good news, the miracle of our faith, is that we are forgiven and loved by God even when we've done nothing to deserve it. That is the truth of our faith. The Holy Spirit wants this relationship with us, despite the fact that we are not owed relationship. God owes us nothing. But the choice we are faced with today, the choice Jesus was faced with after he dried himself off and began to wander away from the riverbank that day, is how we will live in response. God is giving us all this love that we've done nothing to earn. So what now? We can ignore the Spirit altogether, or we can take what we want when we want it and get cozy with the wild things of entitlement. Or in a move straight out of Trafalgar Square, we can chase off the Holy Spirit. We can starve it and attack it and make sure it has no place in our life. Or we can give thanks for the opportunity for relationship, and we can enter in fully and openly. We can follow where the Spirit leads, knowing that wherever it takes us, there will be angels waiting on us and new life seeking to be born. That is a choice we are faced with today at the start of this Lenten journey. In a very real way, we are being asked if we want to make the journey at all. Because this is a journey, and when we embark intentionally, it can be life-changing, should be changing. It has the power to awaken us to the ways that God is calling us to engage in relationship with God and with our world. It has the power to awaken us to the ways that we can make changes inside of us to be more alert, more alive to the Spirit, more whole as a spiritual being. It can cause us to give thanks for the love and the forgiveness that God extends and make us examine our lives and truly and fully repent. Be honest about how we are falling short, about what behaviors need changing, what thinking needs changing, how we can get in line with what God envisions for our lives. How will we respond to this persistent dove inviting us to fly with her? It's tough business living with the Holy Spirit. It can be demanding. It can invade our space. It can make a lot of noise and unsettle our lives in the most unexpected ways. And thank God for that. The kingdom of God has come near. Listen to the flap of her wings. Repent and believe in the good news. Come, our Lenten walk has begun. I invite you now to take a couple moments in prayer with me. God of new life and new beginnings, we give you thanks for the many opportunities you give us to start over. We give you thanks for inviting us on this Lenten journey with you, to travel down new paths, to meet you in new ways, to listen for the comfort of your soothing voice, and to be propelled by the urgency of your wings toward deeper faith and more solid expressions of our faith. We ask that you will open us to new opportunities and new callings during this season, that you will make us brave and give us courage, that you will help us to live with respect, not only in creation, but in relationship with others. And we ask God that when we are not on the right track, when we could be doing things better, that invited or not invited, you break into our lives and show us the better way. We pray, God, for our church family today, the one that meets in the building and the one that stretches far beyond our building through the miracle of modern technology. We pray for those who are in need of extra guidance and new direction. We pray for all who are filled with grief, with disillusionment and pain. We pray for all who need to feel the nearness of your love and your hope for new beginnings. God, this day we pray for the victims, the survivors, and their families in Parkland, Florida. We pray too for the family of Colton Bushi. And we acknowledge the racism that exists in our country, God. We pray for true reconciliation and justice. We pray for an end to discrimination and hatred. And we know that it is up to us, God. So we pray for strength, for courage, for wisdom, and dedication to look at unjust and oppressive systems, to do our part to dismantle racism in our community, our country, and our world. And this day, God, we bring before you, in the silence of our hearts, concerns for others and ourselves. Give us, God, a sense of anticipation through this Lenten season, that we may move with confidence and hope toward the new life of Easter. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Messiah, our risen Christ, our companion, and our guide. Amen. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be with me, and I hope that you have a wonderful week ahead and that you feel the nearness of the Holy Spirit encouraging you and enveloping you with peace and strength. Go into this world of ours with hope. Amen.